A special testimony this morning of a changed life. So I'm going to have Letty Barrett. You guys remember Letty Barrett? She was one of our teachers. You could have taken the shortcut, but that's okay. Yeah, I used to cross the street right here. The pastor before me used to go to the corners. I just went across, and he said, "Hey, why do you do that? Why don't you use the corners like you're supposed to?" I said, "Hey, Moses parted the Red Sea. When I go out there, I said, Lord, part the road, and I go through it, so it's okay." But Letty was one of our teachers for a long time.
23 years,
yeah. And so she's been with us a long time after that, and then God called her out. So she's going to share the greatest miracle of all. I'm going to move this out of your way.
Okay, hi, my name is Letty. Before I start, I wanted to open up in prayer. So let's all bow our heads and open up in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for today, Lord. And, you know, sometimes you save the best for last. And North Park is the best place for me to be because this is where it all started for me, Lord. And just knowing that the church that I do attend, Father, is the church that Carmen got baptized at. So what an even bigger blessing. So I thank you, Lord, for just using me to be your vessel, Lord, and only a vessel I can be, Father. So I thank you for the change that you've done in me and what I'm going to share with my friends and my family today, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, first of all, I'm going to share some scriptures that I wanted to just kind of bring out to kind of tell my story. Okay, I'm going to share Psalm 139, verse 14, and it says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. And the next scripture I'm going to share is Jeremiah 1:5. Let's see, it's right here. And it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And the last scripture that I'm going to share, let's see, it is Joel 2:25. I think that's it. Okay. And it says, so I will restore you, to the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army, which I sent among you. So anyways, that's the scriptures that I just wanted to share with you. So, my story, and I wanted to say that God will never leave you nor forsake me, and he has never left me or forsaken me. He's always been by my side. Sometimes we don't understand, you know, when we're going through the fire, we don't know. And I went through the fire. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story. In November of 2023, I went to go and have what you call your normal mammogram. And Julie Gal happened to be the one there. And Julie Gal tells me, well, you have to wait because, you know, you can't do it. You have to wait until after your birthday. So I had to wait. So I went in January of 2024 and had a mammogram done. So, you know, it's a great old mammogram. And then they said, well, so I had the mammogram done. And then they found something. So they said, you need to come back. So I did a sonogram, which is 2 weeks later. So I had to wait. You know, the waiting is hard sometimes. It's very hard. It was very hard for me to wait because I was getting very anxious and not knowing You know, because a lot of times if you have a mammogram done, a lot of times it's nothing. It's just, it could just be extra tissue that you have in your body. Well, that's not what they told me. They said I had breast cancer. So anyways, that was in January. I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And when you hear that, oh my gosh, that's the scariest thing that anybody can hear. So what I did was I decided that I needed to, you know, and the thing is they told me over the phone, and I'm thinking, why over the phone, you know? Why can't they bring me into the office, sit me down, and have a cup of coffee, and, you know, hey, we want to tell you something. But they didn't do that. And, you know, I'm grateful for that because a lot of times you have to wait in order to, you know, you have to wait. So this was okay. So anyways, I was told I had breast cancer. So in March, they decided they were going to do surgery and remove the cancer because I had it in the right side of my breast, the cancer. So I went for surgery. My sister came down, and my son was there. You know, I had a lot of support. So when I had the surgery, I was able to go home that day, and I had to make sure I was, you know, taken care of for 2 weeks. So I had a lot of support from my church and a lot of support from just my family, my sister, my kids. So anyways, the surgeon had told me, you're probably not going to need anything. You're going to be okay, you know. She goes, I feel like we caught this early. And I said, oh, okay, you know. So this was after surgery. So anyways, I had the surgery. And then I think it was like 3 weeks later, I went to go see an oncologist. And I thought I was just going there for, you know, they were going to tell me, hey, you know, we got the cancer out, everything's fine. In fact, when they did the surgery, they said I was at stage one. So I was perfectly, that's an okay stage to be. But you just don't know because the type of cancer that sometimes people have can be very aggressive. So anyways, they told me I had a stage one cancer. Anyway, so I'm sitting in the room with this oncologist thinking that, okay, you know, she's just going to give me a high five or whatever. And she says, I need to tell you something. I said, what? She says, you're going to need chemo. And I about broke down right there because not only that, I was by myself. I didn't have my support group with me that I usually, you know, have. I had somebody that came in with me before I had my surgery, and she took down all the notes for me and got me prepared for what I was going to do, you know, what I needed to do. Anyways, that was very devastating for me. It was very hard. But at this time, too, my kids were very supportive because, you know, I just wanted to share this with you. We all have different paths that we go through. We could either do it naturally. We can do it with a doctor. It's whatever path God takes you through. And this is the path that God took me through. I asked my kids first, every one of them. I said, hey, what do you want me to do? I went to my oldest son, Rufino. And he said, you need to do this. Then I went to my youngest son and I said, what do you want me to do? Because I didn't think I was going to have chemo. And he says, you need to do this, Mom. And I went to my daughter-in-laws and they said, you need to do this. So I chose to. Does anyone have any tissue? My nose is running. Sorry about that. Forgive me. My nose is running. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway, so. Huh? Oh, thank you. So I asked them, and they said, yeah, you need to just do the chemo, Mom. And I'm going to tell you something. To this day, I don't even know what chemo does, and I don't want to know. That's how scared I was. I don't want to know. Who wants to know what chemo's going to do to you? But my sister, who's here with me today, who came all the way from, Sacramento. I asked her as well, and she says, you need to do the chemo. She goes, if I didn't feel that this was okay for you, I would tell you. And I told her, well, I don't want to know anything about it, so don't even go there. So she didn't. So anyways, when I went to the oncologist, it was very devastating for me to hear that news that I was going to need chemo. But then I had a friend that came along and gave me all the answers I needed as well, and her name is Joanne, and she's here to support me as well. I mean, I would call her up all the time and say, what about this? What about that? You know, when I go through this chemo, and she would tell me, well, when you go through chemo, you need to make sure you have a water bottle here, a water bottle in the bathroom, a water bottle in the kitchen, a water bottle in the kitchen. I'm thinking, well, my place isn't that big. It's a little studio, but anyways, you know. And she was just giving me some really good pointers and really supporting me through this because she's also a cancer survivor. You know, so she knew all the answers, and God put her in my path and used her to help me through this time. So that's what I did. So April 23rd was my first day of chemo. And what they do is they take you into this room, and you sit there, and they put this big old needle in your hand. So you get that first round. And, you know, I had it. And what they do with chemo, it's every 3 weeks you have chemo. Mine was every 3 weeks. And they told me, like I said, because I was really questioning about chemo, and she says, well, the kind that you have is the kind that can come back aggressively, and it's the type that hides. So just because you have it doesn't mean that it's gone away. It can hide in little places that you don't even know. So she felt that the best thing for me was to do the chemo. So I had my first round. I was okay, you know. 3 weeks later, because I did it every 3 weeks, I had to do chemo. And I asked her the question. I said, am I going to lose my hair? And she said, yes, you probably will. You want to talk about how devastating that is? Just knowing that I'm going to lose my hair, you know, because they talk about your hair being the crown of glory. You know, and that was my crown. You know, I'm the type of girl, you know, when I was growing up, I was a little tomboy. But then I became a girly girl, and, you know, I loved fixing my hair, and, you know, my daughter-in-law would cut it, and I, you know, do colors to it and whatnot. So, she told me that, so I had to be prepared for that. So I had my first treatment. Nothing happened. My hair didn't fall out. It was like all excited and whatnot. And this happened until June 25th. That was my last treatment. And then I had my next treatment. So after my second treatment, I got really sick, because they tell you that when you get a fever of like 100, I believe, that's a low grade. You need to come in. Mine would not go down. So I went in to urgent care, and they said, why don't you just go to emergency, because it's a lot faster. So I said, okay, I'll go into emergency. And they said, so I went in, and they kept me, because I believe I had contracted pneumonia. So they kept me overnight. So, you know, I think about this, and I think about, my gosh, what a trial, you know, to go through this. And knowing that I had nowhere to go but to God. My back was up against the wall, guys. This was life or death, you know. Either I'm going to live through this or I'm not. You know, my back was up against the wall, and all I can do is cry out to God. So anyways, I was in the hospital, and that was my, and then I had my next treatment, and everything was fine, you know, I was perfectly fine. That was my second treatment, and then my hair started to fall out. Oh my gosh. I could, you know, I was pulling and I felt it. You know, I could see it coming out, you know, and stuff. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do, you know? So I went to my daughter-in-law. I said, you know what? Let's just give myself a little buzz just to prepare myself. So I went to my daughter-in-law because she's a hairdresser. Went to her house, and she gave me the cutest little buzz. It was like about this tall little buzz, and it was cute. You know, I was rocking it, and she's like, oh, this looks good. They even did a little video on it, and I was just like, oh, yeah, excited, you know. Well, then I went home, and I started, like, rubbing my head because I was just, like, feeling it, and it just all started to fall out. So what I did was I went to the shower, and I just started to shave it. I said, you know what, I'm just going to shave it. I didn't shave it completely. You know, I just, there was still hair there. So I went to another friend. And you know, when you don't have any hair, you become a little bit vulnerable. But I went to her anyway, and I asked my friend Robin. We were sitting there, and I said, would you, you know, we were talking about something, and I said, would you just shave my head? She goes, I'll be more than happy to do that. And, you know, to take off your hat or anything, it's hard, you know, because you don't hardly have any hair. But not once did she say anything to me. Took off my wig. She got her blades out, whatever they're called, and she shaved my head. And she says, you look really cute. She goes, you look cute, you rock this. And I was like, oh, okay. Put the wig back on, though, you know, because it's hard. So, you know, so a lot of people played a part in this journey that I went through, whether they prayed, whether they were there to support me or what, you know, everybody played a part in it. So I went again for chemo and had my treatment and whatnot. And then I got sick again. So I went in because my fever wouldn't go down, and they really are very, very, because, you know, you're susceptible to everything. You can't be around. You need to wear a mask. And, you know, mind you, I was still going to work. I was still going to work. I was getting up and going, you know. I was still at work. I didn't really give my body that rest, but that's okay, you know. I still wanted to be at my job, so I got sick again, and I had to be admitted again, this time for 2 days. And the reason was because I had sepsis. Sepsis is very, it can kill you. I think it gets into your blood. I'm not really sure how it works, but yeah, they had to really put those IVs in me and make sure that I was hydrated. So that was a very scary time in my life. And again, my back was up against the wall, and who could I only call on? And that was God. Not that I didn't have the support of my friends, but, you know, I'd be at home and I'd be crying because I didn't have no hair. I'd be crying because I couldn't walk. It was hard for me to walk. You get very tired. You get very exhausted. And I had stairs. So to have to walk up the stairs, I'd go one at a time. And I'd have to stand there and just breathe, and, you know. So I went again, and that was my, you know, I had to stand for 2 days. So I got through that. And then I had my last one, which was June 25th. And that was it. You know, I was the happiest girl ever. I did get to ring the bell. I forgot to videotape it, but I rang the bell. And that was exciting. And, you know, chemo is nothing compared to radiation, because I also did radiation. You know, everything's still intact. You know, people will ask me that. I have friends. I'm like, no, it's all there still. I don't, you know, I didn't choose to do a mastectomy or anything. I still have it there. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you can't get, the cancer can't come back or whatnot. So anyways, yeah, so I started radiation. With radiation, I went from August 13th to September 12th, and that was every day that I went. I went every morning Well, it depends. You know, I went at 7:15. I'd go every day. This was every day, and they lay you down, and they put this big old machine on you, and it zaps where it needs to. And the last one, just I'm going a little bit ahead of myself, they do what they call a boost, where they target on that just that one area. But this was from August 13th to September 12th that I went through radiation. Every day I got up, got in my car, and drove and got the radiation treatment. And so I did it. That was my last, it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And you better believe I rang that bell. And I almost broke it because I want to, you know. I don't, you know, every time I'd see the bell, I'd be like, I want to break it, you know. And the nurses and all those that were involved in this, they were so gracious. God used everybody to be a part of this journey that I went through, literally. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Literally, this was a journey. You know, and I could have chosen to do other things. And I chose to keep my back up against the wall and allow God to do what he had to do. I'm literally telling you, I was in dark places where I didn't know what to do. What am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? You know, I don't have my hair. I can't eat. Everything tasted so nasty. It was not good. Even watering. It was just so hard, you know. But I could say one thing. I did it. I'm here. I'm alive. And that's why I say God will never leave us or forsake us. Never. So if there's anybody here that feels in any way like that, just remember that God is always with you. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. He's going to always take us by the hand. We may not understand, like I didn't understand, like that song says. Sometimes we just don't understand. I didn't understand why God was taking me through this. But now I know, because I'm able to share with the next person that may have breast cancer. I'll be able to walk them through and say, hey, I know exactly what you're going through. So that's my little testimony. And I'm doing well. I'm on the fence. I'm able to walk much better now. I'm able to eat now and enjoy life. I'm enjoying life to its fullest. And so, you know, I just wanted to save the best for last. And you guys are my family. I've known you guys for 23 plus years. North Park is always going to be my family. And God saved you guys for the last. And he says he always saves the best for last. And he did. He saved you guys for me to share at this time because it was the right time. We don't always understand, well, how come you don't say what, you know, how come you don't tell anything? Like, no, it wasn't what God wanted. So I'd rather be obedient to God than to man, and I chose to. And look at what he's doing, you know. So anyways, like I said, I'm doing really good. I'm in a better place. I love the Lord even more. I'm so on fire for him. He's done a lot in my life, you know. So anyways, I just wanted to thank you guys for being here and allowing me to share what God has done. Thank you very much.
Wait a minute. Don't go, lady. No, lady. Wait a minute. I want to pray with you.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, it's heavy. But you're right. You can't lean on your own understanding. He says, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. So we are blessed. Father God, we do come before you. We do want to lift up Letty. And Lord, thank you for, again, the miracle of life. Father, our life is in Christ. You know everything we go through. You know us, Lord. You knew it even before the world existed. You knew for such a time as this, she would be up here sharing a miracle, Lord. And thank you, Father, again, that you have a whole new body waiting for all of us. So the body that she has waiting for, he's not made by the hands of men, but the hand of God. And there will be no limitations. It's going to be perfect in every form. And so, Lord, we do pray that you continue to bless her. You continue to lead her and walk her through and use her for the furtherance of the gospel to share with others. Yes. Because they're going to see the hope that's in her. When they ask, why you like that? It's because of the hope that's in her, Lord. That she has Christ in her life. And again, God will never leave her nor forsake her. So thank you for her. Continue to bring complete healing in any way you choose to use, Father. We pray for complete healing. And not only with Letty, but many others who are going through the same with cancer or some limitation, Father. Thank you that we're in Christ. And all the old things will pass away and everything will become new.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Pastor. Okay. I appreciate it. I'm just, I'm
yeah. All right. Okay. Wow, that was heavy. Who am I to complain, right? I often complain about the pain I go through every day and everything, and there's no reason to complain. God's in control, or else we can you imagine not having God and going through what we go through? No way. So we have the Lord, and so praise God. So why don't you go ahead and open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to prepare our hearts for communion and for the Lord's Supper. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I did share this before, but we weren't able to record it. I think this was the chapter, and so I wanted to get it on the internet, so I'm going to share it once more. But I love God's Word, and it's awesome when you hear the Word of God, how it doesn't matter how many times you hear it, God's always speaking to you. You know, God always shares something and always at the right moment. So 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 13. Okay. Peter goes on, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And I used to think, well, how can I be holy like God? There's just no way. And, you know, I look at these men and women in the Bible, and I was actually taught, you don't even touch that. You don't even go there. We had an altar in our house. We had a big family Bible. We weren't even supposed to touch that, but sometimes I would sneak over there and look at the pictures, because it had pictures, and I thought, well, how can I be holy like God? Well, I can't be, but he says pursue holiness, how we're supposed to pursue that holiness and seek it and be the best we can for the Lord. And then verse 17 says, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for who?
You.
Yeah, for you. Not me, for you. Yeah, for you and for me. It's me on my part, but it's you on my part over there. So, for you, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. I mean, Letty was a witness of that. Standing up here and sharing, it's hard to share something like that. But again, her faith and her hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, And having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as a flower or the grass. And the grass wither, and the flowers fade away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And that, isn't that encouraging? What you have there in your lap, what you have in your heart, that's what's going to endure forever. And that's why we have to decrease. So what? So God can increase. Jesus can increase, because that's what we're going to take to heaven. Nothing down here. We ain't going to take nothing down here. Not a single thing. But we're going to take the things of God with us. And he goes on in 25. He says, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So I love the fact that Peter, he gives us the importance of remembering when we take communion of why we're to remember. Well, Jesus told us that whenever we take communion, to do what? Do it in what? Remembrance of him. And here Peter shows us that what we are to remember when we take communion. What is it that he wants us to remember? Well, look at verse 18, back at verse 18, because he tells us to not only remember, but consider our ransom. Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your father, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That word ransom, and I looked it up in the Webster, it means a consideration paid or demand for the release of someone or something from captivity. And this is Paul reminding us the reason why we need to pursue holiness. We need to pursue righteousness so we won't forget our salvation experience that we had when we met Jesus. How we can share what he's done for us. Just like Letty, up here sharing about her personal salvation experience. I mean, this is also the reason why Jesus established communion, the Lord's table, so we can come and we can remember. And we won't forget what he has done for us, what he did at the cross. And that was that he what? What did he do for us at the cross? He died for us. Don't ever forget that. He died for us. And Peter tells us that we were slaves to sin. We were slaves to death. And that needed to be free. We needed to be free. But it was at a cost. It was at a ransom. And that was the cross that had to be paid by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he brought us with a price. And in verse 18, he uses the word redeemed. That word redeemed in verse 18, it's a slavery term, which means buying someone's freedom, a ransom, which was a one-time price or an act. I praise the Lord that we don't have to do sacrifices of animals anymore. I think that God gave the very last sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Last one, because we'd be up right now here, you'd be here, and I would be sacrificing animals right here, but I couldn't do it because I probably wouldn't be found worthy enough to do that, even that. But Paul tells us that we need to be ransomed from sin and death. And he says this in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Who's sharp? Who knows it? No one? For all have sinned and fall short to the glory of God. This is why we need it to be ransomed. Romans 6:23. What does that say? There we go. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So again, Peter reminds us that not only were we bought by some type of, by a ransom by Jesus Christ, but we weren't bought by some type of earthly treasures like silver and gold or by our earthly merit or we didn't receive it from the traditions of our earthly father. It wasn't earned by anybody. You can't earn it. It wasn't a common daily act that someone could just perform. You can just go and perform it and it would be done. I actually saw a movie about the Egyptian culture. And in this movie, those who died would have to get in this line. It was a big line of all these people walking, and they had to walk past their gods. And if you did not have anything, any type of perform act or anything to offer up to these gods, you were cast into outer darkness. And it shows the rich people and the poor people, and they're together and they're in a line, and the rich man, this one rich man, he's walking, he has this little box, and it's full of jewels and everything, and he's there and he's saying, yes, I can't wait, I'm going to eternal life. Behind him was this poor, poor widow. And she's just in fear because she had nothing to offer. She had just one little coin. And as he stood there and they asked him, what do you have to offer? And he gave it. All of a sudden, this light, which is again, it's so deceptive, came, and he received glory. And when that woman came up and they said, what do you have to offer? And she showed that coin. They were calling her disobedient. And then this fire came down and consumed her. Think about it. Can you imagine having to stand in line? What would you have to offer up if you had to do that? Not a single thing. Because why? The offering was all done by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the shedding of his blood for us. And we see that throughout the Old Testament where God was all, he always taught that blood must be shed to cover sin. It didn't even forgive sin, but it covered sin. And we're told according to Leviticus chapter 17, he says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So again, you look at the value of the blood in our lives. Blood, it sustains us, right? It brings nourishment. It fights infections. But it also regulates our body temperature. So the blood is more valuable than anything that this world can offer. Blood. And the value, when you think of the value of the Lamb of God, 1 John chapter 1, when John the Baptist was there baptizing, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him, and did not know him. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon who you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God. I mean, we can honestly say the same thing. I can testify and honestly say, I have seen Jesus because my life has changed. I can look at some you guys and say, I see Jesus in your life. Your life ain't the same no more. And when Thomas said, hey, Jesus told Thomas, and Thomas said, hey, show me the Father, and that'll be enough. He said, Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How many of us can say, hey, if they say, well, show me Jesus, you can say, well, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. That's how we should live. And it's not like I'm always saying, witness at all times, and if need be, use words. Let people see that in your life because we are that written epistle. But Jesus was the Passover of the Lamb. He was without blemish, without spot, according to, look at verse 19. By the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus was perfect. His life was sinless. He offered up what we could not, and the Lord he gave us his best. He gave it for us, his son. And in return, all he expects from us is to give him our best. Give them our lives. Everything that we have and everything that we are for what? The furtherance of the gospel. Everything is his. We are blessed. So we also need to remember that our security needs to be in Christ. Look at verse 20, and then we're gonna prepare our hearts with communion. I won't be able to do the whole chapter there, but it says, "And indeed, he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in the last times for you, whom through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead, gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God." Man, before the foundation of the world, I'm not even going to try to comprehend that sometimes. Hey, God knew you before the world even existed. God knew you before anything. That's almighty and loving and powerful a God that we have. And he says, when we come together and we do communion, which communion means koinonia, which is very a personal thing to do. It's your personal experience between you and God, you and Christ, him dying on the cross for you, giving his life, this new covenant, because that new covenant leads to what? Grace. We have grace. Praise the Lord. We don't have to sacrifice an animal to just cover your sin, not to forgive, but now we have the grace of God that forgives our sin. Thank God for his grace, right? Can you imagine if you only had 7 grace lines? How many of you would, I'm still holding on to my 7 grace lines. You wouldn't have any more. It's just impossible. But thank God that it's by the grace of God we are who we are. Well, let's prepare our hearts, and I'm going to end it right here. And let's prepare our hearts for communion. Father, we do want to thank you, and thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life for us. You did on the cross what we didn't have to do. You gave your life, and you gave it openly. You gave it freely, and Lord, you sacrifice yourself for us. What you did on the cross will never, never be revised. No one could ever, ever do for anyone what you did on the cross. Can never be revised, and thank you for that. Thank you that because you died, we live. And so, Lord, as we prepare for communion, as we get ready and we worship, may we prepare our hearts, Father, for this time. May it not be an act or a tradition or a custom. May it really be a salvation experience of remembering what you did for us. And so thank you, Lord, and we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and go ahead and come forward and get the juice and the cracker, and then we'll partake together. First Peter 1:22 says, "Since you have been purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but the incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you." Father, we do thank you for the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. Jesus. In the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word dwelled among us, became flesh and dwelled among us. Thank you that the Word is alive, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. How your Word changes us, Lord. It's our life manual. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and giving us that new covenant of the blood and the body, the juice and the bread, Father, symbolic for the breaking of your body. And you did it all for us, saying this is the new covenant that is given unto you. And when you do this, we are to do it in remembrance of all that that you've done and what you're still doing and what you're going to do in the future. So what you did in the past, what you're doing in the present, and what you're going to do for us in the future. And you said that you would not do this again until you do it in heaven with all of us at the marriage supper of the Lamb. When all your people, the whole body of Christ will be there, and we will have one marriage supper of the Lamb, and that's coming real soon. And we thank you, Lord, as we ask that you prepare our hearts. We ask that you forgive us, Lord, for anything in our lives that we shouldn't be doing, any sin in there, Lord. We ask that you not only forgive us, but that you would deliver us. We just don't want to be forgiven. We want to be delivered. And so wash us with the blood of the Lamb, because it's the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that we're able to overcome Satan. And so, Lord, we do give you all the glory and all the honor, and we praise the beauty of your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for our salvation. And it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Go ahead and partake of the bread. Thank you, Lord. When you don't do the can. Just take the bag out of the can and use the bag. Yeah. So, praise God. This never gets old. You know, we do it once a month. But every time I do it, it's like doing it the first time, because I remember what he has done for us. Don't forget that. And so, God bless, and let's worship the Lord. And whatever you do today, I pray that you will have some divine appointments today. Somewhere you're going to have a divine appointment in sharing your faith with somebody. Or something's going to happen. Pray for divine appointments. Amen. Amen. Let's worship.